Praise the Lord. So we have here in John 20, verse 22, and when Jesus, Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven you. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And we know that we're forgiven in Jesus' name, don't we? Yes. So that's what he's talking about. Just encourage people. If they need forgiveness, then you just bring that to them and say, they've been forgiven.
That's right.
So, but he breathed on them. And let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Now, if you haven't been a part of the services where we've been talking about the resurrection power of God, I go back to Genesis quite a bit. You might say, well, Genesis is in the Old Testament. Well, if we learn to see the shadows or the types of the New Testament and who we are in Christ, and there is so much, and I've said this many times, but Brother Charles Capps, who I've read after several times, and he followed Dad Hagen for many years. Dad Hagen was our spiritual father. Did I say that before? He was our spiritual father. And then when he went to be with the Lord, Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy, right, the Lord said to us, your supply has changed to California. And we knew that was them. That didn't mean we were supposed to move to California because we were pastoring at the time. But that's when we made them our spiritual parents because our father had left, right? Just like Elijah and Elisha. And when he left, he became a spiritual father. He became one that others would learn the ways of God from as a prophet of God. Well, we're pastors and we're general practitioners, so we try to bring you the whole counsel of the Word of God. So it says there in chapter 2, 7, I'll try not to preach and teach too much and get off the beaten path. So in this service, I'm really going to do my best to stick with certain scriptures. I might be sharing a lot of scriptures during this time, but just stay awake.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If you don't, I might just get right in front of you.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right. Right.
So Brother Charles Capps said, if you understand the first the two chapters of Genesis, and you understand the whole Bible,
right?
And we want to know about the new creation. See, God formed us out of the dirt of the earth, but what was the new creation? And we've talked about this, but it bears repeating because some people haven't been a part of this service. So it says, the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
Yes.
Really, that breath of life, you could say that's the very fullness of God. So it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that came in to sanctify you,
yes,
or
yes,
to make you pure,
yes,
to make you righteous.
Yes.
At that, and really, he made Adam and Eve righteous. The Holy Spirit came into them, and the new creation was they had a spirit, and they were like God in that they were a spirit. They didn't have the same divine attributes in that time, but he was their heavenly Father. And then when, and as far as the attributes that you have, it's in Christ, in the Holy Ghost, who resides inside of you. So you're not God.
Right.
Sorry to pop your bubble, but you're not God. But you have God's faith.
Yes.
Did you know it is God's faith?
It is.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you have inherent in the Holy Ghost inside of you faith,
yes,
love,
yes,
joy,
yes,
peace,
yes,
long-suffering,
yes,
self-control.
Yes.
And Ezekiel talked about, actually, let's just go there very quick, and I'll come back and read that. But let's go to Ezekiel chapter, is that in verse, in chapter 36? I believe so. Somewhere around there. Yeah. In verse 36, 26, I will give you a new heart,
yep,
and put a new spirit within,
yes,
you.
Amen.
I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh.
Yes.
They were darkened. The candle had went out.
Right.
You've got to understand the terminologies, because ministers and in the Word of God, there's so many terminologies that really mean the same thing.
Right.
Their candle went out. They lost the life of God within. They became servants,
yeah,
rather than children. Are you hot? Are you? Oh, okay. No? Not having a hot flash? You're okay? All right.
Uh-oh.
Moving right along. Sometimes in Cedar Rapids, Brother Matt sees me doing this, so he'll turn the air on. I'm like, no, it's not about that, but I'm not going into detail with you, okay? Moving right along. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. So that word walk means to keep into step with the Holy Ghost within you. Amen. Praise God. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. So in Galatians, let's go there very quick. I'm going to get to something. I'm going to change gears here, but let's go to Galatians and chapter 6, chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Well, that sounds familiar. You see, Ezekiel, that's a type and a shadow. He was talking about receiving the Holy Ghost, and he was prophesying there. That was the spirit of prophecy. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you want to be right, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you want to be right, if you want to do right, if you just feel, I want to change. I've asked God to forgive me 100 times. Well, that's what it's for. The blood of Jesus is for you. The original sin was not receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But we came to him and we received the Spirit of Christ into our heart. Or you could say Adam received the Spirit of Christ into his heart. Yes, that was the Spirit of Christ. It's the same Spirit who lives inside of us. And the second Adam was a living spirit. Amen? And he breathed on them that day. And eventually we'll go back to John there. But notice in Genesis 2:7, the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. So there are things he put in us based on that dirt that he formed with us, but the new creation was the Holy Ghost within. Yes. Amen? So let's keep that in mind. Now, let's go back to John. We repeat ourselves a lot because if you don't, then people just don't always get it.
Right.
So do you see the similarity there?
Yes.
In 20, verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. Let me ask you a question. If I say to Miss Maya, receive this.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I gave her something tangible to receive.
Absolutely.
It wasn't a symbol. Mm-mm. I didn't say receive this.
Yeah.
There's nothing to receive.
Right.
So there couple different schools of thought. Well, this was just symbolism, but why did Jesus say receive?
Yeah.
We know that Jesus went to the cross, he died,
right.
He rose,
yes.
But he had not yet ascended to the Father. And Jesus said, I can't, the Holy Spirit can't come in your life unless I go to the Father. And, basically, he sat at the right hand of the Father. So this was a beginning process.
Yes. Yes.
This was initial process of salvation for the believer.
Right.
So, and then there's a subsequent experience, and that's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The first one, again, it's a mouthful. When he said, receive the Holy Spirit, he breathed on them just like God breathed on Adam and said, receive.
Yes.
He breathed on Eve,
receive
the Spirit inside of you. And so they were a spirit, right?
Yes.
They had a soul, which was your mind, your wills, and your emotions.
Yes, ma'am.
The soul is not your spirit.
No, it's not.
And
it's
we can, and many times it was referred to in the Old Testament, that's because their spirit was darkened. So it was all about their soul, their mind, their will, and their emotions. So don't get that mixed up, because you are a spirit.
Yes, I am.
You have a soul.
I have a soul.
And really, part of your soul is your mind. You've got to renew that noodle.
Yes.
And you've got to get it in line with God's word, and therefore, you're also getting it into your heart. So when you read the word, when you meditate on the word, it gets down into your heart by meditation. And I like what Pastor Nancy said, meditation drives the word down in. So you're renewing your mind, but you're also very much so developing your spirit when you use the word.
That's
So you're meditating on the word. It's renewing your mind, the thoughts, because it's like your hair in the morning. It'll be all messed up. You got to comb it. You got, you know, wash up and that type of thing. But if you don't daily renew your mind, it's going to get messed up. And you're going to lose some things. The heart is the new creation. So you don't lose who you are in Christ. You don't lose righteousness. But I will say this, when you forget who you are and you stop saying what you believe, then it will stop working for you.
Yep, that's true.
It's kind of like when you turn on the radio, it'll work for you. But when you turn it off, you don't hear it anymore. When you turn on the blender, it's going to work for you. Turn on your faith and start using it, and therefore your mind is renewed and your spirit is becoming developed every day.
Amen.
You've got to use it. It's like if you came in here and there was this flooring, maybe we wanted to change it out. Well, we don't, but if we wanted to change this flooring out, it's not our flooring in the first place, it belongs to the school. We'll have our own, amen?
Yes,
it's all come to pass. But anyway, and you might say, this needs to be renovated.
Right.
So next week, you come in here, and the person's all excited and say, hey, we got this all renovated. And you're like, well, doesn't look like anything happened.
Right.
Nothing was renovated here.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing happens with our minds.
Come on.
Renew means to renovate.
Yes.
And if you are hearing God's word and saying it in your mouth,
yes,
putting it into practice by claiming,
yes,
remember, a farmer of prosperity, what do? They claim what they need, tell the devil to take his hands off of it, commission the angels. Well, when you're doing that, you're actually using your faith. You're renovating.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're doing something. Just like if they came in here and they actually changed the floor out, you can come and say, oh, yeah, it's renovated. It's changed out. Your mindsets are changed out with the word of God. You replace them with God's word. You get rid of your stinking thinking, your opinions, what you grew up with that is contrary to God's word. Amen? I mean, your parents may have taught you some wonderful things, but is it based on opinion or is it based on God's word? Right? Because if it's based on God's word and you start to use that word by faith and apply it in your life, that is what they call walking in it.
Yes.
And it's the Holy Spirit that helps you do that. So walk in my ways. Well, that was all free.
All
so receive the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So accept the free gift with the hand of faith. If this is just a symbol of the Holy Spirit to come, why did Jesus say receive him?
Yeah.
It wasn't a symbol. This was a time where they actually received salvation.
Yes.
But they had more. There was a fullness of the Spirit that Jesus wanted to get to them. And I want to turn to Acts chapter 1. Maybe you haven't heard it taught like this, but we oftentimes hear or get confused, I should say, because we don't understand what it means to receive the Holy Spirit. Does that mean salvation, or does that mean baptism in the Holy Spirit? And to be honest with you, we see that Paul and the others referred to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They would actually say, have you yet received the Holy Spirit? And they had already prayed the prayer of salvation. They have already been baptized in the name of Jesus. So the baptism in the name of Jesus is the same thing as salvation. It's a baptism where the Holy Spirit comes into you and he baptizes you into the body of Christ. All right, and we can go to some scriptures along that line, but let's read this. Have I lost anybody yet?
No.
All right, if so, I need to pull it back in granny gear, but we don't want, you know, we don't want to get you confused.
Right.
So let's go to verse 4. Of Acts 1:4, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Now, the promise of the Father, what was that? Well, that promise, that word means it's a divine pledge of good. It's an announcement. What was that announcement? That the Holy Spirit in his fullness is coming upon you. How do we know that? All we have to do is go over there in Acts chapter 2, and this was the promise. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, why? Because they'd already received the Holy Spirit. But now it's still the same Holy Spirit. Yep. Was it two people?
Same one.
So they can say, have you received the Holy Spirit? But what are they talking about? There's an initial experience of receiving, and then there's a subsequent process of receiving. And I'll just say it like this. The first one is being baptized into the body of Christ. The first one is what we call salvation. The first one is receiving the Holy Spirit into your heart, and you've been recreated.
Yes.
Yeah, you've been created.
Yes.
You've become a new creature in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So you are baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Now, there's a scripture along that line. Let me find it. I believe I can get that. It would be good to go ahead and read that. Well, let's do this. I pulled up a, First Corinthians 12:12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. So you can just write that down, or you can refer to it. We'll go back to the scripture we were at. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. So by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. What does that mean? We were baptized into the body of Christ.
Amen.
All right? And then also, we're talking about what it means to really to receive the Holy Spirit. And we could go to this scripture. I don't have the reference, but it's in chapter 2, verse 38. I didn't write down. It was Acts, I believe. My iPad and my Olive Tree program isn't giving me the book, it's just giving me the verses, and I don't know why it does that. It started doing that recently. Anybody have that problem? It's only giving you the verses. Anyway, moving right along. Peter said to them in Acts 2:38, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, it's the same thing as being baptized into the body.
Right.
It's the same thing as, you could say, salvation.
That's
It's the same, receiving the Holy Spirit, or receiving the Spirit of Christ inside of you. So there are synonymous terminologies, and you've got to use a whole counsel of the Word. And if you don't understand the Word, and I've been learning these things and meditating on these things for several years so that I can come and teach you what it's really talking about, what it's referring to, not putting my own interpretation, but just sharing other scriptures with you. So it's referred to as baptism in the name. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, a baptism in the name means that you're actually immersed into the body of Christ, because baptism means to be filled, to be immersed, to be crammed, to be filled up. We know that they weren't actually filled with the Holy Ghost at that time, because there was no evidence of something coming out of them, so to speak.
Right.
But they were baptized into the body, by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, when he said, receive the Holy Spirit, he's saying, come on and join the body.
Yes.
And what is the experience? The Holy Spirit is coming inside of you and making you a new creature in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And you have been baptized. Old things are passed away. All things have become new.
Yes.
I'm crucified with Christ.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me.
Yes.
And the life which I once lived in the flesh, I live by the power in the faith of the Son of God. Amen. So we are crucified, or we are martyrs, so to speak. And really, that word in baptism means a martyrship. It means actually dying and being filled up with the new, but letting the old go. Yeah, it actually means martyr. That's one of the words in there. So moving right along. We see that. Receive the... all right, let's read that again. Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, or be baptized into the body, we could say, for the remission of sins. What do you say? And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, we could go to Acts chapter 19. Let's go ahead and do that. And see that there are an initial and a subsequent experience of receiving the Holy Spirit. And the second experience is bringing that fullness. Yes. Did you know you have the fullness of God inside of you, but that's got to come on the outside?
Yes.
And we need that for what? We're baptized with power to be a witness. And we didn't go further in reading that in Acts chapter 1:8, but that's what happened to them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in another tongue, and that power that came on them moved them out to the streets.
Yes.
And immediately they became witnesses.
Yes.
So I'm not saying that necessarily you're going to be out in the street acting like a drunk man, but at the same time, when you yield to the power of the Holy Spirit, you become a witness.
Right.
You start doing things that you wouldn't do before.
Right.
Yes. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That was all free. So, we see here, we'll just go ahead and read that in chapter 2, 1. I'm not sure where I had you because I've been back. Where was it? Okay, we're going there next. But let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Have I lost anybody yet? Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Now, I think that's had fully come, because really it's talking about that fullness of the Spirit coming to you. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Well, I thought that the person was filled. Well, let's move on. Verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Where does utterance come from? Where does utterance come from? Within. So the praying in tongues part, or the speaking in tongues, is a part where you yield to the Holy Ghost within, and then that same power that came upon them actually stirs up within and flows out.
Yes.
It's rivers of water.
Yes.
I said rivers of water. Salvation is a fountain.
Yes, it is.
Of water.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, rivers of water, when it talks about immersion, is talking about the fullness of the Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being immersed.
Yes.
And really, Jesus is the one then who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we see that we are baptized into the body of Christ at salvation, or when the Holy Spirit is breathed into us for a new creation in Christ. But then we see that we are baptized into the Holy Spirit. In other words, it's the Lord Jesus Christ who ascended to the Father at this time, and then he baptizes.
Right.
In other words, the Holy Spirit was sent to the earth in a corporate anointing.
Yeah.
Because we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 that they all began to worship the Lord, ministered to the Lord in one accord. And what happened? Well, they fell over.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Well, they didn't have the Spirit of Christ within them.
Right.
So it came upon them. But on the day of Pentecost, when that came within, that's why the tongues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, that's why the tongues. Because that's how you draw it out.
That's it.
That's how you draw the Holy Ghost out.
Yep.
And when you yield to another tongue, it's not something you don't understand it with your mind, but when if Maya were to stand up here and I lay hands on her and I just tell her, prime the pump, what am I saying? Well, have you ever been at a farm and you've got to pump the pump? I think water gets in the line there, but it's bringing that water up. Well, prime the pump means just start yielding to the Spirit of God. And it may come out in different ways, but if you start doing that, then that comes up, and it goes out. It goes out. So it is a corporate anointing that it started out with, but they had to stir it up within so that it would also flow out. So we've got to learn that, yes, there's a corporate anointing, but we don't have to wait for that.
Right.
We've got to start yielding to the Spirit of God within. And tongues is what we yield to that will prime the pump and bring that Holy Spirit power out. And then we can become a witness.
Amen.
And I liken it to, I've heard the definition, it's like this gigantic spotlight. So when you're yielding to the Holy Ghost and you're praying in another tongue, it's not necessarily speaking your faith,
right?
Because you're praying in a tongue, you're not speaking the word out, but you're getting enlightened. Why? Because you're looking to your spirit. And it's much easier to see really what the Holy Spirit is saying when you are filled with the Spirit. And also being filled with the Spirit is a doorway into the supernatural.
Yes, right.
It's a doorway into the miraculous.
Yes.
It's a doorway into the gifts of the Spirit. You might say, well, that's just for pastors and ministers. No, it's as He wills.
That's right.
But there are ministry gifts or endowments, and you could read the last chapters of the book, Divine Healing Health for Today, and we talk about endowments of the Holy Ghost, which just means a miraculous faculty. And there are endowments that come on the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. There are endowments of miraculous faculty, gifts of the Spirit, so to speak,
yes,
that come to help them in their ministry.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons why Pastor Nancy will call people out. Yeah, she's used my husband. I went up there and ministered to people before. She'll call out other ministers, and because she said, according to the endowment on their life.
Yes. Yes.
Well, can't we just lay hands on the sick? Yes, we can.
Absolutely.
And Jesus gave that anointing to His disciples in order to minister to the sick, not just pray for the sick, but minister the anointing to the sick. So when He called His disciples and He anointed them to go out and to heal and to drive out devils, it was the Holy Ghost anointing that came on them for ministry.
Yes. Come on.
Right?
Amen.
Well, why do I need that? Because it's as the Spirit wills. So there are times when He's just going to use lay people in the body of Christ.
Yeah,
but when you're in the ministry, there are certain endowments or miraculous faculties, or you could say gifts of the Spirit, that will come and function in the ministry of that person over and over and over again. Now, we can go back to the original in the Old Testament after Adam and Eve lost the life of God, and we see what came in the body of Christ. Well, we saw the king and the priest and the prophet and how the anointing would come on them for service. But they didn't have the Holy Ghost within them. Why? Because Adam and Eve had lost. Their candle had went out. They did not have an ability to draw from the Holy Ghost within. Therefore, we didn't have tongues in the Old Testament. Okay? And I think it's important for us to understand why the tongues. So, it is a sign, but there are tongues for the new believer, but there's also a ministry of tongues. A ministry of tongues and interpretation, which is the spirit of prophecy, because prophecy equals tongues and interpretation. But understand this, prophecy that has no revelation is really just simple prophecy. It's just for exhortation. It's for comfort, right? And it's for edification. So God didn't call us all into the prophet's ministry. There's not revelation necessarily when we speak out in a song, hymn, or a spiritual song. A song, hymn, or a spiritual song, or just speaking out by faith, using your faith, drawing on the Holy Ghost within. And I encourage people in your prayer time, begin to stir yourself up by praying in another tongue. Just begin 5 or 10 minutes or pray in your understanding, but then also say, Holy Ghost, you take hold with me together, just like it says there in Romans 8, right? He makes intercession for the saints. So we've got to, we can do that. We can yield to the Holy Ghost. So we pray in our natural understanding, according to 1 Corinthians 14 in there, but we also pray with our understanding. We pray with our understanding. We pray in the spirit and also with our understanding.
Yes. Right.
So that's what Brother Roberts was talking about,
right,
is that you can start praying in the Holy Ghost, and then you can get revelation of maybe God's plan or
yes.
path for your life. And many times you can speak that out. But I will say it will be dangerous if you
yes.
try to just push something or speak out what you want.
Right.
So if nothing comes up, just keep praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I said, if nothing comes up, just keep praying in the Holy Ghost. And according to Ephesians 5, we'll just go there. Ephesians 5. I am not sticking with my notes. It says in verse 17, Ephesians 5, 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Yes.
See, that's what Brother Roberts was talking about. Do you need to know the will of God?
Absolutely.
Well, you can go and you just begin to pray in tongues.
Yep.
And many times there will be revelation that comes up and you just start speaking that out. And that is an interpretation, but that doesn't mean you're a prophet.
Right.
That doesn't mean you're prophesying there's going to be a bomb in Chicago go off next week, or there's whatever. Or it doesn't mean that God uses you in every service with gifts of the Spirit or words of knowledge and so on and so forth, because it's the ministry gift that comes on the believer and works within the offices and really sets on them, but they got to stir it up. They got to stir it up, and then they have to, by faith, walk out in it. That's why you see ministers many times walking in the word of knowledge. You see tongues and interpretation. That's something that Pastor Jay and I operate in quite a bit. I'll be the one that gives a tongue, and then he'll give the interpretation. I'm not talking about there are times when I'll give the tongue, and I interpret it myself. There are times when he gives a tongue, and he just interprets it himself. But that is a ministry that goes along, and I'm just going to say this, with the ministry of the prophet. And Pastor Jay and I have been in the ministry for how many years now? Well, it's been 22 years. Actually, 42, sorry. 42 years right now that I've been in the ministry since I was the age of 18.
Yeah.
So God started moving us into apostleship, which is starting of the churches
mm-hmm.
around the world and being a voice into the body of Christ.
Right.
But he also started using us some years back. Really, we've seen this even in our younger years of ministry, but we were just young whippersnappers, so we learned to keep our mouths shut and not talk about I'm a prophet all the time.
Come on.
So anyway, we have those things that manifest in our ministry because of the office that we stand in. Now, when we're here, we stand in the office of a pastor. And a pastor is a general practitioner, and a pastor needs to teach you faith,
absolutely.
Needs to teach you salvation. That's why we incorporate all these things in. But many times you're going to see Pastor Jay and I operate in things as apostles
yes.
to the body of Christ.
Yes.
You've seen Pastor Jay prophesy over the nation before
yes.
and what would happen in the political arena. Well, that's that apostleship. And also, that prophet's ministry, there's tongues and interpretation of tongues, and many times the word of wisdom for future events. And there have been times we've both spoken out by faith for those things, future events, right? And also, if you will go to Dad Hagen's book, He Gave Gifts Unto Men,
yes.
you can look at the different offices, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, and you can see many times the gifts that go along with those offices
right.
that function in their office. Well, tongues is a doorway into the supernatural. Tongues is a doorway into the supernatural. Dad Hagen talks about not stepping out into the gifts of the Spirit until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
But being filled with the Holy Ghost also yields speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We'll start in verse 17, Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And in the King James, I'm reading from the New King James, it says speaking to yourselves.
Yes.
And we could also go to Colossians, let the word of Christ, Colossians 3:16, you can just write that down. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching. See, that's what, you got to get the word into your heart.
Yes. Yeah.
You have to have something the Holy Spirit can point to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. But it starts out, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if you need to know the will of the Lord, just start praying in tongues. Well, first of all, just ask God what his will is. Start out with the Ephesians prayer, say Ephesians 1 there, where they bowed their knee, and Paul says, I pray for you all, I bow my knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would have what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. What else? That you may know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, that's how you know who you are in Christ. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's how you know what you have and what you can do in Christ. And you need to be taught the word continually so that you've got it inside. And then the Holy Ghost, who is the guide, remember he blew on them?
Yes.
Receive the Holy Ghost? Yes. You receive the guide inside of you.
Yes, amen.
You were baptized into the name. You were baptized into the body of Christ. You became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
But it's the Holy Spirit who came in you and inherent in you is everything you need.
Yes.
Yes.
All that we need.
And we see that, remember we went there, the fruit of the Spirit. We're not talking about the gifts.
Right.
The fruit of the Spirit is character.
Yes.
Yes.
It's walking in character. It's using your faith.
Amen.
It's walking in self-control.
Yes, please.
To walk in something means you utilize it. You do it every day. It says to keep in step with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Well, that's not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that gives you more.
Yes.
And you become a witness.
Yes.
And you become a powerhouse for God.
Yes. Come on.
And it's not just talking about the anointing to preach and teach and minister, although I always want to do that in light of, I've been praying in tongues, so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is coming on me to minister effectively.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
In other words, when you have the word and the baptism of the Holy Spirit coupled together and you're flowing from within and it comes out, then it's being poured out. And what did Joel 2:28 there said? I pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Yes.
It means to gush out.
Yeah.
It means to come out.
Yes.
It means to fill up. It means to replete.
Yes.
So we need to start out with just praying in our own natural. Or pray the Ephesians prayers. You go to Ephesians chapter 3, and Paul said there that you would be strengthened by the Holy Ghost in your inner man,
yes.
That you'd be rooted and grounded
in
the love of God,
yes.
That you would know that you would be filled up to all the fullness.
Yeah.
Filled up to all the fullness. All right? Now, I said a lot, and I understand this, and this is one of those things that really had to take about a week to teach on, and many times in Bible school, I will break these things down and go into granny gear and just teach and teach and teach. But you've got to look at these things in light of what we've tossed, what we've taught in times past, and you've got to be reading the books that we're referring to. You can't just read any book along this line because you'll get all confused in your head. You can read Dad Hagen's book, Tongues, the Upper Room, right? You can go and get the book on He Gave Gifts to Men. You may not be called to be a pastor, but you need to understand the office of a pastor in order to receive from your pastor. You may not be a prophet, and you're probably not, but you've got to understand that, well, if my pastors operate in that prophet's ministry, I want to understand it more, because there are going to be times that we move out in this congregation in that way, or you're in other services. Now, Brother Richard Roberts operates in the office of an evangelist. So we see that many people get saved under his ministry. Yes, people get saved under our ministry too, but we see that's the fruit. And we see that the gifts of the Spirit that work with him are the words of knowledge, maybe many times words of wisdom. And we see salvations. You see people get filled with the Holy Ghost. He ministered, remember, the secret weapon? He was talking about the secret weapon of praying in tongues, of being filled with the Holy Ghost last week. Now, so Ephesians, but be filled with the Spirit. And we'll just go back to that. To be filled means to, it really, you could say, be being filled. I said, be being filled. Praise God. In other words, keep on yielding, and you'll just get fuller and fuller and fuller. It's just like a glass of water. You pour some water in there, and if you just have that much, is it overflowing? No, you just keep pouring water in there until it overflows. Keep priming the pump.
Yes.
So go to praying in tongues in your own time with the Lord, in your own prayer closet. When you're praying for somebody, you don't know how to pray as you ought. Remember, what do you do? Start praying in tongues and say, Holy Ghost, I'm asking you to help me pray for this person. Now, I'll be honest with you, there have been times when I prayed in my knowledge for a person, and then I just said, Holy Ghost, I'm gonna yield my tongue to praying in tongues, and you help me pray out anything that I need for this person. But then I just had no peace to go any further, so I just stopped. And but then other times, as I had an unction, and sometimes I had an unction to pray for them that God would minister healing to them. I had an unction that God would minister certain things to them. But it wasn't until I yielded to the Spirit that I knew what I could ask for them. Yeah. And really, we have to teach people to receive healing for themselves. But many times people will come to me and say, hey, I don't understand about healing, what have you. And I pray for them for light. I pray for them for understanding. In my own prayer time, I'll just begin to pray for them. In the Holy Ghost as well. And many times it'll just come up in my spirit, Father, I ask you to minister healing to them according to your mercy. I always say according to your mercy. But sometimes if it's somebody that has been in the body of Christ for many years or sitting under the word like you are, and they just refuse to step out in faith, then the Holy Spirit says, don't pray for them anymore. Not all the time. But many times that will happen. So you've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Now let's get back. We're in our prayer time. We've prayed in our understanding. But then we also pray in the Spirit. We pray in tongues. We're priming the pump. And then what do? Well, from there, maybe a song will come up. Or maybe it's a psalm. A psalm is something that we just are speaking about the goodness of God. And it can come out in a song, it can come out in a hymn, which is singing unto the Lord, or just speaking to him, talking about his goodness, talking about his mercy. A hymn is directed to God, whereas a psalm is really talking about God. And a spiritual song is something many times you see me operate in that after the preaching and teaching of the word. I start singing about what was preached in the service. Or you might just, in your own prayer time, if you aren't given to music, you might just start speaking it out. Thank you, Lord, I'm blessed. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, I've gotten through the test. Thank you, Lord, you've been so faithful to me. Thank you, Lord, I've been made free. Yes. I've got victory in Christ. I can do all things. I thank you, Lord, that I reign as a king. Because I'm in you and you're in me. Thank you, Lord. You've set me free.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yep.
Or you can just sing that out. Thank you, Lord, you've made me free. Thank you, Lord, I have victory. Oh, thank you, Lord, I can do all things. All right? And you can just begin to sing that out. So you understand? A psalm, hymn. What is a psalm? It's just talking about really who you are in Christ. A hymn is directed to God, but a spiritual song is singing or talking with a spirit of prophecy, not tongues, but prophecy, and you're speaking it out. So you can do this in your own prayer time. tongues and psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs will get us into the door of more. Amasoko oshende elebre nushte kavande elebo oshandala visakaye. Oh, and more and more and more will be required of us because we go to the Father and we say, Lord, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But as you stand in faith and you begin to say, I will show you how to pray. I will show you how to pray. So begin by just praying in your understanding, but then pray in an unknown tongue. And then you will go further, and it can even be sung. Yes. And a blessing. It will be filling you to overflowing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So there you go. I didn't try to make that up. I was just standing over there, and the spirit of prophecy came on me and noticed that I gave it out in the tongue, and then I interpreted it.
Yes.
So that is what you call the spirit of prophecy. And really, that comes out of many times the office that I stand in.
That's right.
Right?
That's
but that was just the word.
Yeah.
I gave you the word.
Yes. Right.
And it was exhortation, comfort, yeah. Edification.
Yeah. Glory to God.
So don't just try to prophesy over people sure. For God's will in their life or future events or that type of thing, because that may not be given to you to do so. But as you're in your own prayer time, and what did the Lord just encourage us? What have I been talking about? You start out just praying the Ephesians prayers. Then you go into an unknown tongue. And then as the revelation comes out,
yeah.
It can either be spoken out or sung.
That's right.
Yes.
And there's a benefit.
Yeah.
I said there's a benefit. What are some of the benefits of praying in tongues? Well, I'm glad you asked. In 1 Corinthians, is this all right?
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So notice something here. First of all, he who speaks in tongue does not speak to men, but to God. So number one, and this is what the Lord taught my spiritual father, Dad Hagen, number one is you're speaking to God.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In tongues. So you're praying, para kusha de lebre so kuta la masaka, and it may be just, oh, la masinga na la masiye. What is that? Well, you're speaking to God, but really, it's worshiping him.
Yes.
And you can worship him in another tongue.
Yes.
And if you would interpret that, it would sound something like, oh, you're so glorious. You are so wonderful. Oh, we worship you. We bless your name. And many times, if you just start out that way, oh, you are worthy. You are worthy. But if you start out praying in tongues first and priming the pump.
Yes.
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 Yes. Then you can just begin to sing that out, and here's the interpretation. Oh, you are so worthy, you are so worthy. Oh, you are so good, you are merciful. And you can switch back and forth. Oh, you are so worthy of all honor and glory. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. Or you can just pray in an unknown tongue. Pretele, presukuta. What are you doing? Prime the pump. Presukuta, and standele bretendo. And what does it say? Number two, you're speaking mysteries.
Yes.
Number two, you're speaking mysteries. So that's one of the benefits of tongues. It's what you're doing. And a mystery is something that you don't know. You don't know how to pray as you ought to. You've prayed the Ephesians prayers. You've prayed in your understanding what you need. You've asked for the situation, but just start praying out.
Yes.
And if you get revelation or direction in that line, then start speaking it out and write that down.
Absolutely.
But don't just try to make something up.
Right.
Because many times we're praying something out by the Holy Ghost, and we don't always understand or get revelation in the moment. Right?
Right.
Right. Amen. So number three, you're edifying yourself.
Yes.
So while you're worshiping God, or while you're just praying in another tongue and praying in mysteries, praying about a situation, but you know how to pray, but you're just potalala, ishtede, elebre, so good. You're edifying yourself.
Right.
And you're emboldening yourself.
Yes.
So that when you leave your prayer closet and you go to Walmart, you're able to minister to that veteran that we were talking about. You're able to minister to other people. Why? Because you've been edifying yourself.
Yeah.
You've been charging the battery,
yeah,
so to speak. Well, praise the Lord. That was all free. And we're going to be wrapping up here. And I'll be honest with you, there was so much material here that I wasn't real sure which direction I was going to go. But let's go to Acts chapter 19, because we didn't go there. Let's go there real quick. Acts chapter 19. Have I lost anybody?
No,
so you can go back and listen to this over and over again. But Acts chapter 19, we'll see the initial experience of receiving the Lord as Savior, receiving the Holy Spirit, but we'll also see the subsequent experience of receiving the Holy Spirit that brings the fullness. Verse 1, chapter 19, it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." So there we go. We had John's baptism. But then there's a baptism into the body of Christ. That's where you receive the Holy Spirit. That's the initial experience of receiving the Holy Spirit, where you become a new creature in Christ. So they had just heard John talk about prepare the way of the Lord, and they had been baptized in order to do good works,
right?
And also to be ready for the coming of the Christ. And that was John's baptism. And he actually baptized them in water, so it was a natural experience there, all right? In verse 4, then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after them, that is on Christ." Notice, it was a baptism of repentance toward dead works, but, and it was talking about the Christ who is to come, but they hadn't received him yet. They had not received him yet. Let's go on to verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
In other words, they became new creatures in Christ. You've got to listen with the counsel of the rest of the word. Being baptized into the name. Remember, we've already talked about that. Remember, 1 Peter talked about those who repent.
That's right.
Right? And they're baptized into the name. Well, it's the same thing. We talked about there in 1 Corinthians 12:12, baptized into the body of Christ. That is salvation. That's where you become righteous. That's where you get authority, right? But then there's a subsequent experience that brings the fullness. And in verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, notice he didn't have to lay hands on them to receive salvation. But he did lay hands on them. Why? Because he was taking from the anointing on himself, that ministry anointing, and ministering to them. So oftentimes we will lay hands on people to be saved, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But you don't have to lay hands on somebody to be saved. I said you don't have to lay hands on somebody to be saved. But with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're actually transferring that power. Remember on the day of Pentecost? That cloud came into the room, and there was power that came on them and sat on them like tongues of fire. And let's kill another sacred cow along that line, too. You don't have to wait.
You don't have to wait.
Why? Because that was when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. That's what the prophets were talking about. So when the Holy Spirit came and was poured out on all flesh, you're not waiting anymore. He's waiting on you.
That's right.
You're not waiting for the baptism. He's waiting on you to yield. So no longer do we have to tarry. No longer do we have to wait. No, he's waiting on us to prime the pump and to begin to speak out of our spirit from the salvation experience. And it was a fountain, but then it becomes rivers of water. Kol talava sikete deboshta kandede. And it helps us to be emboldened for service, to be witnesses. It helps us to go into the door of more, of the miraculous.
Yes.
It helps us to go into psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's why, you know, I'm going to embarrass her a little bit. I heard Jocelyn, was that last night? I just heard her kind of humming as she had slept in the bedroom next to us, you know, at our house, because our helps ministry come and some of them stay there. And I didn't hear what she was saying, but I could tell she was just, she was edifying herself. She was edifying herself. So just praying in a tongue. I mean, oftentimes when I'm driving or when I'm getting ready in the morning, but then I'll just yield to the Holy Ghost. Oh, I worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, I worship you. Oh, I worship you, Lord Jesus. And then many times I'll just get a song because I'm given, and based on what I meditated on the in the Word that morning, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't have to fear anymore. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I cast all my cares on you. Why? Because you care for me. And I just begin to speak out in a psalm what he's done for me, who I am in Christ. And then you just keep priming the pump. So notice it starts with the initial evidence of praying in tongues, but then it goes into psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which can be sang out or can be just spoken out. But then in a service like this or in your own prayer closet, you can yield to the baptism through the dance, through worship, through running. We know that the Holy Ghost, you know, got on people to run. And we see that in the services. And you may say, well, you can do that. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus commanded them to go to that upper room and wait for the promise of the Father. And then what did they do? They were obedient. They waited for that promise. The Holy Ghost was poured out upon them. They'd already received the salvation experience. But then they learned to yield. It wasn't just a corporate anointing. See, I'm repeating some things, but you understand in light of what we've been taught, it wasn't just a corporate anointing, but they began to yield. And then it took them out into the streets, and they began to pray in the tongue where people didn't understand what they were saying, and some understood because it was a different language. Well, that was a tongue with revelation, you understand? And not everybody is going, when they pray in a tongue, it's going to come out in a different language.
Right.
So that was actually a tongue that was more of a gift of the Spirit that came on them. But notice something. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you keep yielding to that, it's a doorway to get into more. So the miraculous will start happening. And there were people that heard them speak in their own language that got saved that day. And that's what it's for. It's a dinner bell. It's not to say, well, hey, see what we can do. No, it's a dinner bell. And notice that thousands were added to the church as a result of that. Well, praise the Lord. I said, well, praise the Lord. Yeah. So let's hurry up. Then we're going to stop with this. In verse 2, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? They said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So we see that. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they baptized. So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or they were saved. Verse 6, yes, I know I reread that, but I want you to get the progression. I want you to remember that. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they did what?
They prophesied.
And prophesied. And notice what happened. The tongues came first, and then they prophesied. It's the simple gift of prophecy. It's a spirit of prophecy that brings exhortation, comfort, and edification.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And primarily in our own prayer closet, like the King James Version said, we are supposed to sing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to ourselves. But if we do with a group of believers, it doesn't mean we're going around prophesying what the plan of God is for their life. And you understand? It's something that we're just prophesying the word. But let me tell you, If you come to a church like this, we don't just allow everybody to be going around prophesying because there's not order there.
Right.
It says if somebody gives a tongue, then let one interpret or let two interpret. And it would be the interpreter of the service, which is the pastor, that basically would call in that person and say, hey, would you interpret that if it goes that direction?
Yes.
And that's why we don't need personal prophets in the parking lot is either. I mean, you have to say some of these things,
yes,
because maybe you were part of a church where, well, that was part of the service. We just began to prophesy to people. Why? Why? Yeah, because we are supposed to emphasize the order, and there's only supposed to be one or at most two.
Right.
They give a tongue or interpretation of tongue, which is spirit of prophecy. So there needs to be order in the service.
Yes.
There's a reason that the pastor is the pastor, and not everybody else is going around prophesying, because that can bring confusion.
Yes.
And we're not supposed to tell everybody what God wants them to do, because we have the Holy Ghost inside of us, and he's our guide, and he shows us. But what do? Get in our prayer closet. We pray in our understanding. Father, I ask you for the will of God in my life. And then just yield to a tongue. But as you get, something comes up. Yes, go this direction. And that's fine to speak that out. That's fine. But many times the Holy Ghost, the primary way, say this to your neighbor. The primary way God's going to lead you is through the witness of the Holy Spirit. I said the primary way. Amen? So we're not always going to be able to just speak out revelation of our future there on the spot. Because God expects us to pray it out in the Holy Ghost. And there's a lot of things we're praying out that we don't understand. But we've got to trust that it's being prayed out. And then the Holy Ghost will come up and say, hey, this is the direction you're to take. This is the direction you're to go. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So everything is to be done in order. Amen? Well, why don't you stand up? I don't think I said anything the way I originally intended it to. I feel like I went back and forth and did this and that, but I'm going to let God work with it in you. Amen? I'm just going to leave it alone, let him work with it in you. And there are reasons to understand these things. Why? Because we need to have an understanding. We need to know how to get people saved. You need to know it's simple. Just pull somebody aside. And you don't have to say, have you received the Holy Spirit? Understand? Notice in Acts 19 that they were baptized with John's baptism, you know, because they had dead works. And also, his baptism was reminding them that there was a Christ coming, but they hadn't received him yet. So then, when they received the Holy Spirit, they received baptism into the name of Jesus or into the body of Christ. And then, number three, they also received the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And we see other scriptures where they asked, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they'd already been saved. So we know that it was a subsequent experience. So this is what you want to understand. There's a baptism into the body of Christ. There's a baptism into the name of Jesus, which makes you righteous, a new creature in Christ. But then there's a baptism into the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And it helps you to get into the doors of more. It helps you to yield to the psalms, the hymns, and the spiritual songs, that spirit of prophecy, and that it also helps you also that as the Spirit wills to come on you if you need it for a gift of the Spirit. And normally those type of things do happen either at Walmart or other places. He'll come on you to minister healing to somebody. Amen. But if you haven't been praying in the Holy Ghost, you're like, I'm not going to be ministering healing to nobody today. No, that's not going to happen. No. Well, there was a time when it was a veteran who was in line at Walmart, and I'm going to be real quick about this, and I asked to pay for his groceries, and he's like, oh, ma'am, this is too much, and it's only like $75 or something. I'm like, no, it's not too much. I want to take care of it. I mean, I looked at it. I knew what was there, and I knew I had more than enough to cover that, and I said, I want to do that. So he talked to me about some things, but it was during the whole COVID thing where people were wearing masks, and I realized that they didn't enforce me wearing a mask at Walmart, so I didn't wear one. If you have a problem with that, I'm sorry. We all have to follow our own convictions about that. And I had, you know, studied more about masks and how they can be more harmful than good if you're breathing in, you know, that old cruddy stuff from the mask itself. So I opted, if they aren't going to make me wear one, I'm not going to do it. So if they make me wear one, I'll put it on.
Right.
Right? Well, moving right along, that was all free. I was in the line there, and he wasn't wearing one, but everybody else, and that was, you know, they want you to social distance 6 feet away. And he said, out in the lobby, in front of everybody, he said, can I pray with you? I'm like, absolutely.
Yes.
And he took my hand, and he prayed for me, the blessing of God for sowing in to my life. And he had a ministry, I believe, of horses and I guess helping to restore veterans. Mm-hmm. And that type of thing. And he said, this will be such a blessing.
Amen.
You know, that you paid for my groceries and now I can use monies to just bless
praise
more people, whatever.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. I was bold.
Yes.
And I didn't care what people thought about me praying in the lobby with somebody. And you might say, well, that's dishonorable. Well, I thought it honored God. I said, I believe it honored God. Now, there's a time and a place for everything. When you're on the job and they're paying you to be there to do your job, they're not asking you to pray the prayer of salvation for others. But you can certainly, at your break, do what you have in your heart, right?
Absolutely.
And without badgering them. Amen. Well, you have a song along this line? Oh, good. That's a good thing. Did anybody get anything out of the word today? Did a few of you did. Okay, that's
yes,
good. Anybody else get anything out of the word?
Yes.
Did you get something, Lorenzo?
Good.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you get something, Gina? Oh, good. Did you get something, Micah?
Yes.
Azariah?
Yes.
Anita? Yeah, y'all got something?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Did you get anything, Cameron? Oh, good. Good. Praise the Lord.
Yield yourself to the Lord. Yield yourself to the unction of God. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Let Him be your God. Yield yourself. Yield yourself to the Holy.
Spirit in our life. I didn't always understand. I thought, well, it was a contradiction of terms in the Bible when they said receive the Holy Spirit. But one thing I want you to get out of this, if you don't get anything else, and we said a lot of things, is that receiving the Holy Spirit is not receiving from two different people. There's an initial experience, and then there's a subsequent experience, and then you can just continue to go further in yielding to Him. So that was so appropriate, yielding to Him and going into the doors of more for your life. I mean, praying things out, speaking things out by the Spirit of God, learning to be bold, be a bold witness. And also, when you're praying in the Spirit of God, you're learning to be more sensitive to walking in His word, to using His word. So really, if you haven't been using your faith to walk in love, if you haven't been using your faith to walk in faith for your healing or what have you, the Holy Ghost is going to rise up in you and lead you and convict you that, hey, you need to walk in this, but you do it with boldness. You couple it together with the baptism of the Spirit, and you begin to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs about what you have. I'm the healed of the Lord. 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 See, and you just begin to speak it out. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I said that was all free. We're so excited about what God's doing on the earth today. And we're learning. We're becoming skilled. We're becoming trained. And God expects us to take these things, to keep listening to it over and over and over again until you get a revelation, apply it in your life, and start using it. Amen. We love you.